Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. My name's Marcus Speller.
My name's Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Macho Man Randy Savage.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the preview show. Of course, Macho Man Randy Savage isn't here. That was a clever disguise by Pete Donaldson.
Not that clever, he's dead.
Fashion sense is similar though, isn't he? Do you remember actually around the time that happened, it was when, you know, every now and then one of those like really real oddballs will gain some traction about claiming that the rapture is about to happen. That had happened in America, and there was a guy who was saying that effectively everybody that was worthy would ascend to heaven and everyone that wasn't would stay here and it would become some sort of hell. And the next day, the proposed day of the rapture, the only person of note who died was Macho Man Randy Savage. So I like to think he was the only person deemed worthy.
There's an amazing video of Macho Man on, I think it's Going Live or certainly one of those Saturday morning kids TV shows.
Wow.
And he's dressed in all the get-up and his voice is utterly terrifying every single child sat around him. And then when you stop to think about it and really process it, and I've talked a bit about it to Pete before, you think, actually, when you break it down, no one else on earth has ever spoken like that. The timbre of his voice and his tone is unbelievable. It doesn't even sound human. It's mental. It's like that.
Crazy. Yeah.
Think of the diaphragm work.
My goodness. Well, it's a good start to the preview show, talking about Macho Man Randy Savage. Luke, is there anything going on at our Patreon at the moment?
Yes, there is. Our Patreon is the place to be.
Oh, yeah.
It is the absolute place to be.
It's like a disco. Patreon,
it is a bit like a disco. There's little finger sandwiches. There's those party ring biscuits. There's a bit of Backstreet Boys on the PA as well.
Clowns popping in the form of us.
Yep. Yeah, that's actually the most accurate. Patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Lots of extra shows, including Ramble On, including a mailbag. I've put an interview I did with the creator of Sunderland Till I Die on there for Patreon subscribers only. There's a Discord that Andy Brassel joined yesterday.
Oh.
All sorts of chat going on. It's well worth subscribing. patreon.com/footballrambledaily. We'd love to see you over there, and thank you to everyone who has subscribed so far.
Oh yes, big thank you to those people. Now, gentlemen, there's been a little bit of moving and shaking in the football world. We go to Belgium, of course. The Belgian football authorities appear to be the first football association that have made a decision.
Yeah.
I mean,
on what?
It stunned everybody into silence.
There will be no more sparkling water in the foyer area of the building.
The statue to Philippe Albert is cancelled.
Yeah. Oh, that's a disgrace. Yeah, it looks like the Belgium First Division A will be cancelled with the current standings being decisive. Now, one has to say it looks like it's reported, all those kind of words. Because I don't think we've got 100%. Some people are reporting it as if it's the decision's been made. Other people say it looks like they're going to make that decision. The league's board of directors did vote unanimously for cancellation in a conference call on Thursday, but is expected to be ratified by the General Assembly on the 15th of April. And in a statement, they said, "The board of directors took note of the recommendations of the government that it's highly unlikely that games with the public will be played before June the 30th. So it's big news. They're the first ones to blink.
Don't play with the public. I mean, that's the main thing. You know? play with the footballers in many ways.
That's the worst case scenario of a solution, isn't it? Like, just get the fans to finish it.
No pitch invasions, please.
And at the same time, nothing but pitch invasions, weirdly.
Indeed, indeed. Luke, what do you reckon to this?
Jim's got a take on this, because I know he's got a hot take on it, because he gave it to me while we were waiting to start recording. So for the first time in Ramble history, I will defer to someone else.
Wow. Clear the floor.
What Luke and I were talking about after we'd spoken about a very odd video that Pete sent us yesterday that he's not explained at all.
Careful.
That's one for the patrons for sure.
I think that there is a little bit of a sense that this might cause a knock-on effect, and as somebody said earlier, it's as if, you know, the Belgian FA have blinked. But there was one game to go of the domestic season, and Bruges had won the league anyway.
Well, that's not true, Jim.
They had pretty much wrapped it up, hadn't they? Mathematically champions.
No, I don't. I'm not sure if they were mathematically champions. They were 15 points clear
with one game to go.
Well, we're with two, I think one or two games of the regular season to go, and then it splits off into sort of a playoff situation. It's a bit of a different situation in Belgium. Yes, it does look like Club Bruges will be champions, but there was a little bit of way to go. But perhaps the most contentious one was Genk in second and Charleroi in third, meaning Genk will get the second Champions League spot. But only 1 point separated them. And I think UEFA are very keen to try and get the leagues to finish and for UEFA competitions to finish. So next season, we know who gets the spots and so on, because that's one of the biggest things. You know,
For God's sake, Jim, you told me that was a hot take.
Yeah,
well, I'd love to finish it.
okay, I'm going to finish it for you, Jim.
Yeah,
Philippe Albert used to play for Charleroi. There you go, finish.
Exactly.
Let's move on.
The statue's back on. Well, what I was going to say was, I think there is a sense that this would be seen as almost, the first domino to fall. But as Marcus corrects me, even so, the situation is a little bit different in Belgium.
I hope I've got that right, by the way.
But the top six teams go into a playoff. I'm fairly certain that's the case. I mean, you're both, Jim is right, factually, what he says. But Marcus, in terms of the format of the league, you're right. And in fact, it's slightly different to how we do things over here, for example.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's basically going to be going, "Hey, Brussels, back off. We're fed up with you telling us what to do. Decided we're not having that anymore. Don't try and sneak it in like this." But also, as well, the Jupiler League, as it's called,
your dad
which is
just
a lovely
walked
name.
In.
Into my DNA. Have you seen the trophy for the Belgian League?
That's a beauty. It's an absolute beauty.
It is absolutely. It's like a sort of, it's like a half panelled football on a little plinth. It's a beautiful, beautiful.
Isn't there an animal in the middle of it as well? I think at the base of the ball is like a little bull or something. Or maybe that just sneaked into the shop. I'm fairly certain there's an animal in the middle of it.
Did you just say a bull sneaked into the shop?
I think there's a bull in the middle of the little ball that they give away.
Yeah, but the idea of a bull photo bombing the Belgian champion.
No,
it's not a real bull.
It's like bullseye. He used to pop into the screen, didn't he?
Yeah, that's very true.
In the middle of the trophy, it's just three darts.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
A pint tankard.
Just really confused. It was the last award they had at the shop.
It's a very good trophy. And you can imagine my delight when I scratched around all morning yesterday mornings for Andy and I to find stories from the continent. And then this fucking Belgian news broke about an hour after we finished. So that was annoying. But I do think the response of UEFA was pretty interesting, Mark. I don't know if you saw that, about how they said it's a bit too early, it's too premature, and they can't guarantee that they will be allowing teams into European competition on this basis. And the reason it's fascinating to me is chiefly because this is an unprecedented situation, and the solutions to all these problems are going to need to be really creative. And there's going to be, as we've repeatedly said on this show, there's going to be no solution possible that's going to suit everyone. That's going to be absolutely 100% fair. People are going to have grievances with it, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I do applaud the football community for trying to come up with creative solutions to this, but with no end in sight to the coronavirus crisis and the public health being the most important thing, it's probably going to be some time before any of us know exactly what's going to happen after this in football.
One would argue that it's not even a football issue. This is a public health issue. So then it should be taken up by, you know, the Merkels, the EU.
The leadership should be shown elsewhere,
It should be political rather than the actual football associations themselves just making decisions within each other's, jurisdictions.
Mm. Well, one of the reasons I think people are getting antsy, we saw, I don't know if everyone's seen it, but there was a talk during the rounds yesterday that one of the proposals will be effectively finishing the league abroad in places where the curve is flattened and the virus isn't a risk, which includes China. But obviously that's very, very unlikely to happen. But the reason that people are thinking in such extreme terms is that they're worried about financial penalties from the TV companies. And I just feel like, why is it the Premier League and the clubs that are under the pressure when it's the TV companies that are putting them on? The TV companies live in the same world that we do. You know, that's outrageous.
The interesting development on that over in France, we covered it briefly yesterday on the continent, is that the equivalent in France of BT Sport and Sky Sports have said, we're not going to pay you to the French League the final installment of our broadcasting rights package because you're not showing the games. Mm. So if that is replicated throughout Europe, I mean, the knock-on effect will be absolutely massive.
Yeah.
So again, I keep saying it, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it is absolutely true. We're in uncharted territory. None of us know what's going to happen because, as Jim and I think Pete rightly pointed out, this is not a situation that football, the world, that just affects the world of football. The world of football here is not existing in a vacuum. It's in certain ways being buffeted around by all the political and financial and economic problems that are happening all over the world due to this public health crisis. And football is not immune. And it doesn't exist in a vacuum. Everything's going to be affected by everything else. So we're a long way from knowing what's going to happen, put it that way.
Can COVID exist in a vacuum? Could we play the matches in a vacuum? Space. I'm talking space, people.
Oh, space ball. Imagine.
Space balls.
There's no up or down in space. It'd be mad, I think. Get in touch and correct me on that, space people.
Luke very recently interviewed John Hare, who was one of the co-creators of Sensible Soccer. And there was once a little demo disc on Amiga Power that was Sensible Soccer, but it was in space and the balls bounced really high. So I'm all for that, basically.
I think we're all for that. But mentioning what you said about...
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Mentioning what you said about football not existing in a vacuum, I mean, the Belgium authorities acknowledged they could play matches behind closed doors, but said that would put huge pressure on services and it'd be very complicated, blah, 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 blah. So they're acknowledging this. The Premier League clubs are reportedly asking to be able to use 5 substitutes if the season can indeed be crammed in at some point over the summer. And there are suggestions that VAR would be scrapped as the technology needs people sat in a room at Stockley Park reviewing footage, and that may not be feasible. And I thought, yes!
Come on! Yeah. Come on!
Isn't it nice to not have spoken about that for such a long time?
I know. I love the thought of people going, hang on. You can't have VAR because you're all sat too... The room's too small. Get rid.
So will the players not be able to go within 2 metres of each other?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, there's also talk, isn't there, of certificates of immunity and all that kind of stuff, meaning people can essentially... I don't know if this is going to be the case or if it's even possible. I'm obviously not a public health expert or an expert in anything. But there's talk that immunity certificates could be issued to people who have passed antibodies tests and everything, so they can go out and essentially flout the lockdown because they're no longer carriers of it. So, I mean, I suppose if you got into a situation where footballers were immune... and I suppose it wouldn't be a problem. But then you've got all the other non-playing aspects, as Marcus has alluded to there. But I did think, actually, when they were talking a week or two ago about how they might condense all the games into a really short period, and there was talk of that thing that Miguel covered about some Midlands-based tournament, I did think they'd probably have to tweak the laws of the game for that to happen, because there'd need to be further concessions made on players' health and fitness. But very, very quickly, just on the Premier League stuff and on the players, I've been pretty interested in the developments that have come over the last 24 to 48 hours about what players are doing with their wages and what the PFA is saying. And I found it very, very interesting that the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, made a statement yesterday which essentially called out Premier League players and their wages. And
stupid, isn't it?
I actually found that quite distasteful because I don't understand. Well, I do understand why football players are these poster boys for excess and for the amount of money they earn, and because they're young and in some cases, you know, upwardly mobile kind of young men. Yeah. One thing that's really, really lazy about it is there's no one focusing on the £80 billion, which is the collected wealth of all the Premier League owners of clubs and what they're doing to help financially to their staff. For some reason, it all falls on the backs of the players. And I don't like this idea of this piecemeal approach where players are after individually going out and saying they'll take pay cuts. It happened at Barcelona. It's happening in other places. What needs to happen is a top-down solution to this. And I'm pleased to see the PFA get involved, and hopefully they can come to some kind of solution, because it isn't incumbent upon individual people who are earning good money to step out and say, we'll do this for them. It's got to be done in a collective place. I don't really like the way that footballers themselves have to show the leadership individually on all these different issues, whether it be racism, whether it be money, whatever it is. There needs to be some kind of organisational structure that the people who are at the top of the game, who are paid to make these decisions, with the input of the players, of course, can make these decisions on behalf of everyone, so it helps everyone.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that, Luke. And I think what's incredibly frustrating about it is that a lot of these players as well, they are young people that have come from tough backgrounds, from working class backgrounds. They are people that have done well for themselves by working really hard. And as you say, it's there are owners, there are the Richard Bransons, the Mike Ashleys that you can throw these things at. But I think to say, oh, bloody footballers earn too much, don't they, is effectively just more populism. It's just more populism.
Jim, exactly right. It's not a footballer's responsibility that a Premier League club doesn't pay its staff a London living wage. That's not for nothing to do with a footballer. They can shed light on it. They can support the cause. They can do all that stuff. But it's a decision maker from the owners of the club, the people who technically employ these people. And whenever something happens, whenever something goes on, needs to be showed leadership, it always falls upon the players, the media, the politicians. They put pressure right on the players individually. And I think that's wrong.
And where does it scale down? Where's the cut-off point? Championship? Third division? Where do we sort of go, well, the players have to take a pay cut? Sorry, if Spurs can't do 2 months without football, then they're a failing business, in my opinion, with the amount of money that comes in.
And they're not, by the way. They make loads of money all the time. Exactly. They're a big profit-making bad business.
Yeah, of course they're not.
On the flip side, there are a couple of nice stories coming out, which Gary Lineker has been particularly good. He's given a few months of his salary to the British Red Cross, and also Chelsea have been offering support to Refuge, who are an organisation that provides support for people who are vulnerable to domestic abuse, which obviously right now is particularly difficult. So, you know, it's not like football isn't doing anything.
Yeah, I think footballers do a lot of charity work all the time, and people get criticised if they flaunt their charity work in public, and a lot of them don't. I mean, we do hear about a few stories, but I completely agree.
It does my nut in, Marcus, because it's like every week there'll be a couple of Newcastle players down at the Newcastle United Food Bank that obviously is finding it really, really hard at the moment because there's no football, there's nobody turning up to go and watch the football and drop off food, which is a national disgrace that we even got fucking food banks in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, it's a joke. It's a complete not a joke.
We saw this though with the remember a few years ago with the tax avoidance schemes where various celebrities were caught with their hands in the cookie jar, you know, so to speak. Even though it actually wasn't against the law, I think one or two of them technically. But as soon as you had celebrities who were caught doing this tax avoidance scheme, which again I believe was a loophole, not technically against the law, although it is naughty behaviour and we don't want to see it. Immediately, the government are pointing the finger at various celebrities going, oh, well, they're a disgrace, they're a disgrace. And it's kind of like, well, I mean, I suppose yes, but are you trying to say that this is that there's not a lot more people doing it? As you say, it smacks of populism.
Amazon.
Yeah. You haven't got a cough, but you could just say Amazon if you want.
There you
Sorry,
go.
Mate.
There
yeah,
you
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
No, no, no. I appreciate you.
Yeah. I haven't got a cough.
Should we go to Germany for an interesting little piece of news? In Germany, if they decide to play matches behind closed doors, then Borussia Mönchengladbach fans might well be ready for this. There's an idea for fans to pay to have a plastic cutout of them with their photograph on and all the trimmings in the stadium with proceeds going to charity. And I thought, well, it's quite an innovative idea, I suppose.
It's great because now this is all happening. Climate change has paused, hasn't it? So we can just make loads of plastic.
All right, Jim.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. That will be fun if they do it.
It will.
Wouldn't they all blow away? What if they blow out of the stadium? And then there's just these plastic people floating around
what
the
a
town.
Scene, though. What a scene.
What a scene. I know. Yeah. I'm all for it. Do you think I'm not all for it? I'm for
you're
it, man.
You're all for a huge influx of plastic into the natural environment. Good to know.
Yes. With my face on it.
It'd be a very wistful hurricane, that, wouldn't it? Just
it's like it would be.
People flying around in a pandemic. It's actually a chilling scene.
It very much is. Peter, have you heard about Norberto Solano in Peru?
Oh, he got in trouble, didn't he? Yeah, he was arrested for breaking a lockdown, so to speak?
He was, but the circumstances of this are very strange, as I'm sure you're about to come on to, Marcus.
Mm. Yeah, well, he's obviously the current assistant manager of the Peru national team. He was accused of breaking lockdown rules going to a party, which happened to be captured on primetime TV show Magali Medina, I think that's pronounced. And the tagline of this show is getting everyone into trouble. So they've already set the stall out.
Should never have gone on it if that's the tagline.
Yeah. Well, he reckons that he was stitched up and somebody tipped them off and said, oh, Nobby's gone to his neighbour's house for a party. But Solano said him and his family went to see a neighbour for lunch and that wasn't a party. And he was taken to the police station and released without any action taken.
Where does a lunch end and a party start? That's what I want to know.
It depends on the music, I think.
He said, somebody heard the music and tried to be clever and told the TV programme, it's about celebrities and when you're in the public eye, I suppose this sort of thing can happen. And obviously, Solano's had like quite a bit of criticism for breaking the curfew or whatever, but why is it more being made of this roaming prank show?
Well, they're allowed out.
Just knocking about, breaking the curfew, looking for other people breaking the curfew that happen to be famous.
Yeah. Nobby Solano should be doing what he used to do when Bobby Robson was in charge of Newcastle, waking Bobby Robson up at 11 o'clock at night and playing his trumpet down the line to him. So, and Bobby Robson didn't know who it was.
Is that if he didn't start him, you get the trumpet treatment.
You get the trumpet treatment.
Can I just say, after a while, I'm fairly certain that even Sir Bobby Robson would have known who it was.
Apparently not. Apparently not. The mystery trumpeter.
I don't think, I think old Sir Bob might not have known that. Oh dear. Staying in far-flung places abroad. Do you see Son Heung-min? He's back in South Korea. He's recovering from a broken arm. But he still needs to do 4 weeks military service in his homeland. I thought he was completely exempt, but he's exempt from the standard 21-month military service as he was part of the side that won the Asia Games football tournament, of course. But if the Premier League season is delayed beyond the 30th of April, as we very much expect it to be, then he might start his military service on 20th of April. Get it out of the way. Lovely old job.
Yeah, I mean, can't they just let him like do it concurrently with the lockdown? You know, when people have like 4 or 5 different prison sentences and they let them do them all at the same time.
Oh, right. So send him a Kalashnikov and he can like just take it apart, put it together, maybe film it for YouTube.
Yeah.
Polish his boots.
Yeah, the Kalashnikov challenge.
I think that's probably what it is, isn't it? There's some videos of him on Insta skipping away and doing various fitness routines, you know, so he's keeping well.
I was just going to say, you said lovely old job about doing military service. I mean, it very much does depend what he's being expected to do.
Yeah, but I think it's a lovely old job that he can squeeze it in at a time when there's no football happening. There was always concern about this four-week period.
And he's got a broken arm. I mean, how much can you necessarily learn in 4 weeks? If I've done 21 months and I'm fighting the North Koreans next to a bloke who's done 4 weeks, but fucking hell, he can put the ball away.
Imagine looking to your left and, God, this is a bit of a nightmare, isn't it? Oh, I'm going back tomorrow. You've just got here.
Maybe the whole thing is actually going to work out particularly badly for him. They're thinking, right, world's on lockdown, bloody fed up with that lot in the north. Let's go over the top now. We need a figurehead. We need someone to unite the people. Son, you're up.
Yeah, he's got a good pace. He's the one who can grab their flag and bring it back.
It's not paintball, Marcus.
Do you want a Gareth Bale update?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Apparently, he's prepared to put his differences aside with Zinedine Zidane and fight for his place. In other words, he's going nowhere.
That's amazing, isn't it? He's prepared to put his differences aside.
Hello, is that Zizou? It's Gareth. Yeah, yeah. Why am I not playing? No one's playing at the moment, Gareth. No one is playing, so you're not going to get a game anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm still on 600 grand a week though, yeah? Yeah, yeah, that's fine, don't worry.
By differences aside, does he mean growing that bald spot that he's rumoured to have?
Oh,
harsh. Come on.
Naughty.
Harsh.
I just feel with Gareth Bale at the moment, obviously, as we know, he's a very good golfer, so he would not really be more than 2 metres away from anybody on the old links. So his daily exercise could involve a lot of social distancing very easily. Like, has his day changed at all? Has his day-to-day changed even slightly?
I think I'm right in saying he's got a small golf course in his back garden.
Oh, my God.
So he doesn't actually need to leave the house anyway.
Yeah. Magic.
Well, he doesn't leave the house, but not the grounds of his house, if you know what I mean.
He can't believe he's like...
He probably, I would have a decent amount of money on the idea that I'm not sure Gareth Bale knows this is all happening.
Yeah.
Well, he certainly can't read Spanish, so he wants the newspapers.
He's like Tom Hanks in Castaway at the moment.
Is that right? Did you see that with all the, you know, people are trying to obviously... spread transfer rumours and so on and so forth. And there was a thing I was reading the other day that football agents have been telling whoever will listen that the next transfer window will be a buyer's market. And I thought, oh, goody. You can just imagine. That agent in goal played by Sean Petrie or whatever his name is? It's like people like him. Pertwee going, yeah, no, it's just a buyer's market. I'm telling you. No, he's definitely. But when is it not? Piss
yeah,
off.
You're not gonna. If you go and watch the second season of Sunderland Till I Die, that will not endear you to football agents any more than you already are. Put it that way. Right.
Marvelous. All right, everybody, let's go for a quick break.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. And now it's time for emails with PED.
It is time for emails with Petey D, and it's a bump episode of emails. Thank you very much to Chris Little, who's got in touch at Ramblers, following on from the brilliant Bacon Boy Meat Van Book Van trilogy. I can confirm that in our modest area of Stoke, we have a video van.
Oh, wow.
It's essentially a Blockbusters on wheels. I remember this as well, to be fair, but the only difference between Blockbusters and this one on wheels was there's the utter shite to choose from, such as the Sean O'Neill Epic Steel and Hulk Hogan Suburban Commando. They were the art house choices.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking.
I literally watched Suburban Commando from a video van. And I also remember the van used to park at the end of our street. And you go on it. And in the back, you get on the back, into the back doors of the van. And it was like a little video store inside. There were shelves down each side with videos on display. Yeah. It was absolutely wicked.
Yeah. Bit of blow for the dads?
Definitely. Little curtain, little bead curtain. Go through.
Beef curtain.
Bead curtain.
Gordon, pissing, Bennett. Peter. I've got a very quiet headphone on. Right, hello. Let's clear that up. Hello, Ben Paul. Hello, Ben Paul. Hi, Ramblers.
I was just going to say, through the bead curtain, bang, Emmanuel's 1-7.
Oh, Emmanuel 1-7.
Yeah.
Lovely. Ben Paul, hi Ramblers. I remember a few weeks ago there was some chat about the new laws of the game we'd like to see. I know that chat fizzled out, but I had a bit of an epiphany this afternoon, so I thought I'd share. Now, I'm sure we all agree, we all love to see a goalkeeper coming up for a corner in the dying seconds of a cup tie or an important game. So why not encourage that behaviour a bit more in normal play? So my proposition is that goalkeepers be allowed to handle a ball in both boxes.
I quite like that.
That's
actually
a great shout.
Like a handball situation.
Yeah. I like it if they shouldn't be able to catch it, but they can like hit it.
Parry it or punch it. Yeah. Well, I think it's a fantastic idea. If you can sort of like, you're not allowed to score directly from a hand, but you can throw it to your mate's head and he can nod it in. Lovely.
Yeah. Well, if we're doing the whole sort of no VAR thing and the five substitutes, I think this is the
Family
time
football.
To try all of these.
Yeah, definitely. Craig Norton says, I've got an idea and it's been used in chess. Move all of the spot to Antarctica. apparently, there's a big chess tournament, FIDE Candidates Tournament. It's going to be starting in 2 weeks in Antarctica. And thank you to Craig. I've just read that. He sent it on the 1st of April. I've just realised it's an April Fool's Day joke. Fuck you, Craig. Patrick, I just got to touch.
Well, I would say, Peter, that speaking of playing sport in Antarctica, people are stuck for something to read in these weeks of lockdown. There's a really good book by Harry Thompson called Penguins Stopped Play about he runs his own sort of village cricket team, and they have this mad idea to play cricket on every continent in the world, and they play in Antarctica.
Oh, right.
It's mad.
Cool.
It's absolutely mad, yeah.
Well, Antarctica is the only one that doesn't have any confirmed cases, but I imagine their testing regime isn't really up there with any country, really.
One of the things that Harry Thompson found when he was down there is that, you know, the great Captain Scott expedition, this sort of failed expedition to get to the South Pole, they found...
He's still there.
No, listen, you joke, but they found a cabin that he used perfectly preserved to the point of where there were socks still hanging up on the little washing line because no one had been there since. It was amazing. Like 100 years, no one had been there.
What's that stuff that like whalers and people who do used to explore? Is it Pimento?
Bob Marley in the whalers?
No, like the it's like little cans of smashed up fat and meat and fruit.
Spam.
It's like Pimento or Parmigrade or something. I don't know. Someone can get in touch. Actually, don't get in touch. We'll just get an email box full of that. I'll Google it. Steve Bull has been calling people on the phone. Very wholesome. A lot of footballers have been doing this, but I'm really, really enjoying the fact that Steve Bull has been calling a bunch of elderly Wolves fans to make sure that they're all happy and coping.
Yeah, I also heard I heard Steve Cook at Bournemouth doing that. And what it really reminded me of was that he called this 90-year-old Bournemouth fan and he was really pleased to hear from him. It just reminded me of you, Pete, trying to call one of our listeners to give away a signed shirt, they just didn't want it.
Not only that, they already knew they'd won because somebody had to email them to get their phone number. I said, "Well, I'm not playing that out on the show." I could have literally went, "Mate, you won the signed Paul Gascoigne shirt." He goes, "Oh yeah, I know. Thanks."
Yeah. This is a lovely non-surprise that I don't want.
Yeah. Oh God, we do not have the skills to be on that Peruvian prank show. They would see us coming a mile off.
Yeah, we get pranked.
we'd prank ourselves. Joe Zebedee. When Alan Shearer signed for Newcastle, one of his conditions was, of course, that he got the number 9 shirt. However, the current incumbent was Les Ferdinand, and Keegan had to tell him he would not be wearing the shirt. He explained that it was just a number and it wasn't important, all the time wearing a gold number 7 pendant around his neck. A wonderful story, Joe. Thank you very much.
Can I say, Peter, that video that you tweeted, which is on your YouTube page about Netbusters, the scenes of Richard Keys flirting with Les Ferdinand.
Richard Keys trying to get in Les Ferdinand's pants is the best bit of television.
By the way, speaking of that, there's an amazing video we got tweeted, which I retweeted. You guys can check it out at twitter.com/footballramble. Richard Keys plays himself in an episode of, I think, Footballers' Wives or Dream Team or something.
Oh, Dream Team.
It is Dream Team. It is absolutely amazing.
To be fair to Keezy, I know he's playing himself, but, you know, he sounds convincing as himself. He's got some chops.
he's got some chops.
Man. Yeah.
I think he's actually all right. But as you say, Jim, I think what they did is just they said, Richard, can you chat up this woman? And they just happened to be filming at the time. I don't think he's aware of the wider sort of situation.
Don't make me beg. He actually says, don't make me beg at one point.
Yeah, he said, come to dinner with me. I'm blocking the sun from you getting a tan. So it's just too much, Richard. Christ on a bike. Yeah. Neil Warnock and a baseball mascot. Jordan Young. Hello, Ramble Boys. Long-time listener and Arsenal supporter. I recently moved and while going through old papers, discovered a game insert to a football match here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, between Crystal Palace and a local second division club back in 2009. I remember this match well for several reasons. I did not remember, though, that the names on the team were really quite good. Julius Speroni, Nathaniel Klein, a young Victor Moses was in the squad as well. And after the match, we were invited on the pitch for a kickabout and a chat with the players. I don't remember being that impressed at the time, but to be fair, Crystal Palace were not that impressive and the team played even less so. The big delight for me, though, was seeing that Neil Warnock was the manager. I don't know how I forgot this, but it makes what happened during the pre-match national anthems even better. God Save the Queen began with no real announcement except the accompanying sound of a helicopter, which is odd until we realised that the baseball mascot, the CeeLo, a large red cow, was being flown in and lowered onto the field while waving an American flag during the whole of God Save the Queen. He made it safely onto the pitch as the song ended, and the stadium announcer asked everyone to stand for the US anthem and to please take off their hats. The anthem was played with the utmost of respect, including CeeLo, standing at attention and saluting the flag. Now, my main memory of this was commenting to my friend that it was very disrespectful, dropping a mascot via helicopter during during God Save the Queen. And clearly the Crystal Palace manager thought too, because he was angrily gesturing to someone throughout. Knowing now it was good old Neil, I wish I'd taken the time to ask him about it afterwards. I'm sure he had much to say. Thank you very much, Jordan, for that.
Lovely.
Lovely old job. And finally for now, Robert Rees-Bond. My friend Lee from Bolton was a pop boy who rode the pop van around the streets of Bolton selling fizzy pop and orange juice. Unfortunately, a lot of people didn't want to buy pop in Bolton. However, they had fags and homebrew vodka in the van as well. These were more popular. In 1999, 17 people in Bolton were poisoned and hospitalised by the homebrew vodka. My friend Lee was never charged. He doesn't listen to the show, so imagine his surprise when the cops smash his front door and after this. Fuck him. Thanks and hugs. Your Uncle Bob Bob.
My God.
Just a quick one from a man called Hamish, hilariously. Bacon Boy, Marcus, who ran the bacon round called Alan Bryson?
No, I don't know. I'm afraid I don't know, Hamish. It was. Well, I don't know.
Okay, right.
Just say yes.
Just say yes.
I hope it was.
And that is
because
the end
here
of the
he is.
Section.
Exclusive for Patreon subscribers, an interview with Marcus's bacon boss.
He's on statins.
No, it was like some sort of very convoluted gang situation. You never actually met the leader. You only met the person who was one step up from you.
Just all balaclavas.
Like West Side Story, but more salty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just picking up the bacon in an empty car park. Later.
You got the merchandise? Yeah, I got the merchandise. That's the end of the email section.
Is it Satriali's Pork Store in Sopranos?
Could well be. Right, everybody, now it's time for Time Tunnel.
Oh, it's exciting, isn't it? Time Tunnel. Jim, you suggested this episode, I think, but it was suggested to you by a listener. Is that correct?
It was indeed. It was tweeted at me, and it's a show from 2014, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the 6th of October 2014. The episode is called Boca Moist. That's Boca Moist. Ooh. And I think it was a particularly lazy week for us, because when I looked at the synopsis for this episode, of which I believe I was in charge of writing at the time, it just says the following. Jim reduces the show to rubble, and the others try their hardest to build it again. In the end, football is not the winner. Now, to give you guys a bit of context about this, this is from the 2014-2015 season. Chelsea won the league that year. It was the season that Cesc Fabregas was just amazing. I think he had loads more assists than anyone else. Arsenal, to their credit, came third. I think it was the first season that Pochettino was at Spurs. It was the season that Tim Sherwood took over at the final part of the season for Aston Villa. It was when West Brom went through three managers, accumulating in Tony Pulis, who managed to save them. Queen's Park Rangers were relegated in bottom. Hull City and Burnley went down with them. And the top four was Chelsea, City, Arsenal and Manchester United in fourth. Now, the reason Jim reduced this entire show to rubble is because we had a classic Premier League managers, hardest managers chat. And Jim first introduced the idea of the sandy ball bag.
Yes. So this is, there's been a, you know, this has sort of gone down in ramble lore, really, isn't it? The idea of the sandy ball bag. And I think a lot of people forget that we weren't saying that Sean Dyche looks like a sandy ball bag, because you can think that, but that's on you. What we were saying was that he sounds like one. Like if a ball bag that had been at the beach all day and been rubbed up a bit the wrong way, like had a bit of sand in it, probably hurt by the mesh that you get in a lot of modern swimming shorts. If that kind of ball bag had a voice, it would sound exactly like Sean Dyche's. That was sort of very much the centerpiece of the show, wasn't it?
The thing is, it's even more ridiculous saying that than saying he looks a bit like a ball bag.
Yeah, but you know I'm right. Mm.
But the other thing that was interesting about it was the fact that we had this hardest manager chat. Mm. And can you guys, I mean, if you've listened back, then you'll already know. But if you haven't, can you guys remember who we said the hardest manager was at that point?
Was it Dyche?
No, he was in the conversation, but it wasn't Dyche.
I've listened back to it. Was it Pearson that was set?
Nigel Pearson. If we had the conversation now, would probably still be the case, no?
Yeah, Dyche,
I think Dyche would get a shout, but what about big Daniel Farke?
Well, yeah, Farke would be in the conversation now.
Sinister.
Exactly, because that voice is hiding a lot, isn't it? We've said it before. The concern with Farke is that if he uses his real voice, it will end the world. Yeah, I don't know. That'd be an interesting one. There was a lot of talk about Steve Bruce as well, because he could soak up so much punishment.
Yeah. I think these days Nuno's got to be a contender, 100%. Mm. And Chris Wilder as well. Chris Wilder.
But Nuno, I think, would be like Doctor Strange. He'd be able to like perform magic or something. What about David Moyes is back in the Prem?
The ferryman?
I think he's broken.
Yeah, he's broken. It's like the little policeman in Police Academy, where she's quite quiet, and then when she starts shouting, it's actually quite, oh, something snapped. We're in big trouble. Yeah. If he ever snaps, we're in big trouble.
Marcus at one point said, would punching Steve Bruce be like running up a sand dune?
Yeah, and I do think that's right. By the way, Pete, speaking of Police Academy, I think I'm about 2 or 3 weeks away this lockdown from watching every Police Academy.
Yeah, I think we all are. Yeah.
Mission to Moscow.
Yeah.
No, I don't observe Mission to Moscow, because I go up to and including Assignment Miami Beach, and that's it. When Gutenberg leaves, I've got no interest in it.
Okay. Is anyone interested in an episode of Quincy where I think Pele was in the episode and he saved the World Cup from, I think, Legionnaires' disease? We're gonna run out of films at some point. I'm gonna find that episode of Quincy.
How is that not in there ahead of fucking Player for Keeps?
How is not Jonathan Wilson involved? He loves a detective drama.
He does. We're gonna watch A Shot at Glory between now and Monday, right?
Yes, by the way,
just one more point on Playing for Keeps. We forgot to mention that he keeps, when he's in, because he's in charge of the side. I mean, how old are the children he's in charge of? About 8 years old or nine?
Nine, I think.
He keeps calling every opposition team they play wankers.
Wankers, yeah. I actually wrote that in my notes. My notes after watching I wrote the weirdest use of the word wankers in any film.
Yeah, you just get away with that there, can't you?
Well, the thing is that in my experience, a lot of Americans find the word really funny. And I don't think they kind of, it's, you know, when you're not sort of fully ingrained into a country's culture, you can never really fully grasp exactly the weight or the meaning behind certain words.
Sure.
And I think they think of wanker as being a bit of a laugh, whereas it can be quite severe. And to say it in front of a whole group of 9 year olds is kind of a little bit weird.
It's like in America, and then you know they're quite big in Newcastle Brown in certain areas. They sort of go, "It's not usual bollocks," and they just use bollocks in their adverts, which is really funny.
Yeah.
And also in Japan, the wrestler Taka, his opening music, bearing in mind there's, you know, it's auditorium full of kids, it's wrestling, you know, kids are into wrestling. "Taka is coming, motherfucker." It's like so rude. So rude. They just don't have a handle, they don't have that word, so it's fine.
It was that brilliant burger restaurant in Seoul that did the rounds on Twitter earlier in the week.
Oh,
that,
yes.
Simply, the slogan was simply, "We believe that other burgers are shit."
Yes. I like that.
Oh dear. Could we go, before we move on from Time Tunnel, the reason why we had that hardest managers chat was because Arsene Wenger and Jose Mourinho had a bit of argy-bargy on the touchline at Stamford Bridge, which is quite wonderful. So that was that season. Alan Pardew was still in charge of Newcastle. But abroad, there was some interesting things happening. Do you remember Gigi Becali from Romania?
Yeah.
He was in prison at this time, and he tried to twist the court's arm, saying that he should get out earlier, saying, "No one would mind. I'm no danger. If you let me out of jail, I'll make love, not crime." And in Brazil, Romário got elected to the Senate, winning 63% of all the votes for the Rio de Janeiro
And nothing politically has gone wrong in Brazil since then. So
exactly. So it was quite a monumental time, as all these time tunnels tend to be. You see,
you know, the Pardew thing's really interesting because he was still at Newcastle there, and he was in a terrible run of form at that point. But then I think shortly after that, they went on an amazing run, which ended up with him going to Crystal Palace, didn't it?
Yeah.
So, because I think people maybe mistakenly think that Pardew was fired from Newcastle United, but he actually wasn't. He was poached to go to Palace, wasn't he? Yeah.
One had to say that Pardew did an all right job.
Yeah, 100%. Premier League Manager of the Month in November of that year. That's just a fact.
We also did a mystery voice game as well, so we'll bring that out in a couple of months' time.
Oh, I completely forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
Speaking of mystery footballers, this is our mystery footballer game. Thank you very much to William Bennett for coming up with these clues. Are you ready, guys, for Masked Winger?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I need your names. I need a name and a guess. A lot of clues here, so, you know, don't worry about the first two. I was born on the 25th of July, 1985.
Luke.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say my name because you said don't worry about the first two. I'm going to go for Hatem Ben Arfa.
Not Hatem Ben Arfa.
Marcus.
Thank you very much for mentioning the genius's name. Marcus?
Klaas Jan Huntelaar.
You would call him Clive. Nice. No, it's not him.
Jim.
Number two.
Jermaine Genus.
Not Jermaine Genus, no. 1985. I have played in my own country as well as Mexico, England and Turkey, and I'm still applying my trade in the Super League.
Sorry, can you say that one again, please?
I've played it. Now, we can't pretend that poor connections are at play here, just to
Jim
get more time.
Jim, for repeating the question. Jim and so does Marcus. They're both absolute shits.
I have played in my own country as well as Mexico, England and Turkey, and I'm still plying my trade in the Super League.
That's Turkey. Mm.
Luke. Oh, no, it can't be Ryan Babel because he's gone back to Ajax, hasn't he? I was going to say Ryan Babel.
Incorrect, it's not Ryan Babel. Number three. The nation I represented have not won the World Cup and have won Copa America to their name.
Ooh.
Oh, Luke. Go on, is it Rabinho?
Ooh.
It's not Rabinho.
Oh, that's a great shout.
Stop. Number four. I mean, Marcus. Sorry.
Stop, Marcus. Kill Jester.
I was going to say Alano, but quite clearly he's not 34.
No, it's not Alano. Yeah. In my first South American under-20s championship game, I came off the bench at halftime to score four goals.
Marcus. Falcao?
Not Falcao.
Oh, that's great another good shout, because he's in Turkey.
Good shout. Good shout. Number five. I was signed for my first English club by that visionary Steve Bruce in January 2009.
Ooh. Marcus. Hugo Rodallega.
It is Hugo Rodallega. Oh, Marcus shout. Speller.
Lovely one, Marcus.
Yes. Wow. Yes. I had three managers in 2013-2014 and was relegated. One of these managers was an absolute nutcase. Highest Premier League goal scorer for the club. But left 1 year before Wigan, wasn't it? That qualified for Europe. So, well done, Marcus Speller, for that. Thank you very much to William Bennett for the clues.
Well,
great stuff. Love that. That's you've trumped my Alexander Hebb from last week.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
I very much enjoyed, On the Continent was very good this week. Andy Brassel, obviously excellent, and Lukey are all right as well,
Thank you very much.
Andy Brassel mentioned Habib Bey at one point. I was like, I've not thought about Habib Bey for years, for obvious reasons.
Genuinely, though, I mean, if people haven't got anything else to do, and let's face it, not many people have, do go back if you haven't and listen to yesterday's On the Continent, chiefly because Andy's tribute to Pat Diouf, the great Marseille president, is really fascinating. I knew next to nothing about the guy other than the research I did for the show. And Andy... brought him to life in amazing fashion. It is really worth checking out. It's the very first story we cover on yesterday's On the Continent, which you can get the same place you get this show. So it is worth having a listen.
Defoes. Jermaine Defoes, mate. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. A quick reminder, we shall be watching A Shot at Glory for Pete's Film Club, which we'll review on Monday.
And people should watch it with us, shouldn't they? They should all watch it ahead of Monday and send in their own reviews.
Yeah, indeed. I believe it's you can see it on YouTube for those...
I'm not paying for the fucking thing, so it better be on YouTube.
I was worried that I was going to have to pay for A Shot at Glory, but fortunately it was on Amazon Prime, I think. So.
Mind you, tax deductible, isn't it? So,
I guess it is.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there enough football content in it for it to be tax deductible?
Yeah, they might investigate us.
I've been trying to find United Passion somewhere, and you can get it on DVD for about £70. FIFA are just unbelievable, aren't they?
Honestly, Jim, I would have recommended it for the film club, but it is so vanilla. Nothing happens in it. It's not bad. That's the problem. It's just so vanilla.
So it doesn't qualify for a feature where the whole point is it's excruciating football movies. How have they done
that? It's not
that?
Excruciating. It's just excruciating because it's just like, why is this my job? It's excruciating because of your own life choices.
I think there's definitely an undercurrent of certain decision makers in TV shows or movies that aren't proud of their work getting rid of them because there are certain things you just can't find. Do you remember that series that Gervais and Merchant did with Warwick Davis called Life's Too Short? You can't find it anywhere. Like, you literally can't get it anywhere. If anyone can get that, show me the link because it's impossible to find it.
You will get deluged. You're not very good at computers, Luke. You're going to get deluged. Sorry, mate. You are going to get absolutely deluged.
I'll just get loads of links to probably some kind of section on Netflix I didn't check properly.
Some stuff behind the bead curtains, should we say.
All right, that's enough.
I'm so sorry about that. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. I'm, of course, back tomorrow with Jonathan Wilson for another Greatest Games. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lukey.
Oh, can I just say before I say goodbye, Marcus, your Blizzard Greatest Games with Tom Holland about England v Belgium was absolutely fan-bloody-tastic. And I can say that without being self-referential because I was nothing to do with it. I just enjoyed it as a listener. Yeah. It was brilliant. So people should check that out as well. Goodbye.
Yeah, well, I can say that as well because with the Greatest Games podcast, I essentially just turn the lights on and off and let Jonathan and the guests be talking. And thank you very much, Petey.
Could do with a bit more Habib beer. Bye.
And sometimes he needs help with the lights.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.